If I could say one thing about this church, it would be that we are a group of people who do not want to get our hopes up again in order that they be dashed. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you get your hopes up, have you ever believed for something with all your might and then it doesn't happen and it just crashes into a million pieces? It could have been about a relationship you were hoping would go somewhere. It could be about a financial endeavor you just knew was going to be successful. And you climb to the mountain peak of hope and then you fall all the way down into the valley of brokenness and disappointment. Now, I'm talking to a lot of people that fit that category. And the title of the message on Mother's Day is Don't Lie to Me. You say, where's that in the Bible? I'm going to show you where it's in the Bible. It's in 2 Kings 4:16, and it's a woman, the Shunammite woman. Now, that's just a woman from a city named Shunem. That's it. Okay? We don't know her name. We know very little about her, but what we do know about her is going to teach us a lesson about getting our hopes and expectations up. I don't care how many times we have hoped in our own strength and then had our expectations dashed, but I think you'll be able to stand in the shoes of this woman, our text. The prophet, let me tell you a little bit about the story before we read our text. There was a woman, she's called the Shunammite woman because she's from a city named Shunem. And she lived in a city halfway between where the prophet Elisha lived and Mount Carmel, where he used to go and seek God. And so it was exactly half the distance. And she was a wealthy woman, a woman of means, the Bible says. The little we know about her is that she was greatly blessed. Her husband was older than she was. They were people of financial means. And she had noticed Elisha in his little trek going from his house to Mount Carmel. And she said, that guy's a man of God. Why don't we build him a little apartment in the house so he can come and rest halfway on the way to worship the Lord? And she was so concerned about the things of the Lord that she contributed to the ministry of Elisha. And he was very grateful because, you know, he'd walk and you could cover about 20 miles in one day comfortably. And I'll tell you, he would get to that point. And this precious woman from Shunem said, make this your house, man of God. You just go ahead and rest here. And Elisha is so taken by her generosity and by her kindness and her willingness to serve that he says to his servant, what can I want to do something for that woman, the Shunammite woman. She's so good to me. She's so good to the work of God. She's kind to everybody. Her husband's a little older and getting on, but she seems so content in her life. There must be something that we could do to bless her. And so the prophet sends his servant and says, ma'am, is there anything you need? Her response is, I'm fine. I'm good. And there's a lot of us today that would respond, I'm content. I'm okay. Thank you. I've got my life. I mean, I've been through hard times, but I'm all right. I don't need anything more from God right now. And then Elisha went in person to her. And he said to her in person, is there anything that I can get for you? And she says, no, I'm fine. And he says, prophesies to her, and he says, this time, next year, you're going to hold a baby in your arms. You're going to be a mama. Here's our text. Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. One translation says, don't lie to me. Do you hear the passion behind that? This is a woman, first of all, the Shunammite woman, she had a contented life. She was okay. She was reconciled to a long-lost dream. Do you have any long-lost dreams that are collecting dust in the corner? They're so long and lost that you just put them way in the basement. We couldn't even have to go up in the attic or the basement to find them. This is a godly woman. She is at peace with God and her husband and her family. She's got everything this world has to offer. She's okay. She's got control of her life. And did you know there are times we think we've got everything exactly where it needs to be, and then God comes in and he begins to intrude a little bit, and he begins to stir the embers, and he says, I'll tell you what, in older age, he says, you're going to have a baby. Now, I want you to see how this woman was vulnerable in an area of her life, and it was an area that could produce the greatest amount of pain possible, even at a remembrance. and it was that she learned to live her life reconciled to that area of fruitlessness in her life. She was okay. Everybody else had a baby. She never had a baby. It's okay. She learned to deal with it. Have you ever just learned to deal with something? You just said, well, that's never going to happen. I'm just going to contain that area of my life, and I'm going to go ahead anyway, and I'm going to serve God and be content. But I want to tell you, dear heart, I know that we are to be content in all circumstances, but also God is still the God who will step in to our lives when we're absolutely in control and say, I'd like to challenge your whole worldview about everything. You're going to have a baby. Now, her first reaction is, don't you lie to me. You can see her get that head cocking. Don't you dare stir up my hope. How dare you stir up my expectations? Ain't no God going to come into here and tell me about, you know, when you start doing that to everybody else. No God going to tell me what to do. The Lord is actually trying to bless her, but he strikes her at such a vulnerable point. She'd already learned to live a life reconciled without that relationship. Now, you know, I don't know why some people are barren and can never literally have children, but it's not just a child I'm talking about today. Whatever dream God has placed in your heart, whatever your anointing is, your calling is, God may have called you as a little girl, as a little boy, and you've lived your whole life, and you're content and you're okay, but the Lord knows you've learned to live without certain blessings, and he's going to be encroaching in the next 12 months in your heart, and he's going to start stirring up the embers and saying, I want you to hope again in some areas. And we go, don't you raise my hopes up. I love that verse. Isn't that great? Next year at this time, you're going to be holding a baby, a relationship, a new business opportunity, a new anointing, a new usefulness. No, my Lord, she cried, oh man of God, don't deceive me. Don't lie to me and get my hopes up like that. I love her honesty. First of all, she's a godly woman, and she's learned to live a life reconciled to that one area of fruitlessness, okay? So she's got it down. But secondly, the Shunammite woman, she didn't expect anything more from God. You know, you do learn to walk with God and say, you know, my life's okay. I don't have the perfect husband. I don't have the perfect wife. I don't have the perfect kids, but it's all right. You know, it's all right. And God goes, no, it isn't all right, because I put you on earth for a reason. I've called you with a destiny, and I'm going to draw you back. You may be even older in life. Abraham was an old man when God said, you're going to have a baby. And he said, mm-hmm. And then Sarah's 90. He says, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, mm-hmm. You know, there is that sense of mm-hmm. It's just a sarcasm. It's an inbred skepticism and a cynicism when God speaks something wonderful over your life that, you know, you'd rather die than hear another prophecy. Hey, I understand. I just have to preach this. Don't shoot the messenger. I don't want any more prophecies either. I've got more prophecies that are in the Bible. You know, if two of the prophecies I've had come to pass, I'm fine. So I don't need any more. I told someone said, can I give you a word? I said, I have 5,000 of them in my closet. And let's wait till those come to pass before you speak a word over my life. But the Shunammite woman was a woman who was okay, but God said, I've got more for her destiny than she can believe for herself, and I'm going to start messing with her heart. So here comes the prophet saying, I want to dredge up a very uncomfortable fact about you, ma'am. You've always wanted a baby. And she's like an old lady now. And she's going, don't lie to me. Can we be willing to hear from God some things in the next 12 months that will make our first reaction, don't you lie to me? And by the way, in a second, she has a tragedy with this kid. And she goes back to the prophet later and says, I told you not to lie to me. This woman tells it like it is.
Tells it like it was.
Are we willing to let that flesh in us come up, even to God's spirit, and say, that's ridiculous. Are you messing with me? Are you playing with my heart? Don't you dare stir up my love, lest you please. You know, in the Song of Solomon 8, verse 4, there's a beautiful line, stir not up my love, lest you please. Don't you get my engine running unless it's going to go somewhere. See, this is the attitude the Shunammite woman has to God. She goes, look, I got my old man, but he's a good man, and my life is okay, and I've reconciled myself to live without a child, and don't you come around here, Mr. Prophet Ministry, and declare. And look at this, pretty clear. This time next year, baby, you. And she just goes, that's cruel. It is, unless it's true. See, God still has words over your life that he needs to speak, because it's not cruelty. He's not trying to hurt us. He's not trying to wound us. But he is a relentless lover, and in his passion, he will pursue us even when we vibe him. What kind of a God's going to come in here and tell me there's a blessing on my life? I've never seen anything but curse. Don't you lie to me. That's what she said. I love this woman telling a prophet, don't you lie to me, and get that head going. So look at this woman. She had a contented life. She was reconciled to the loss, but in her kindness, she shows kindness to Elisha, and she didn't even expect anything more from God. You know what? Sometimes we say, my life's enough. I've got enough. Bless you, Lord. I'd owe for 1,000 tongues to praise you for all that you've done. That's wonderful. But he's not finished yet. He wants to pursue you in a deeper way. You know when someone gets in your personal space, you know what I mean? I was raised a hugger. My daddy hugged me and kissed me all the time, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Now, one of my son Michael's nurses said, Craig, personal space, right here. It's your personal space. This is the personal space zone that you can. Well, I was raised without that, okay? You know, my dad was a close talker. You know what I mean? Like Lyndon Johnson. He'd grab your lapels and pull you up until you were uncomfortable, you know, till every inch in your being was going, I think I'm uncomfortable. Well, God's a close talker. All analogies break down, but Lyndon Johnson and God, I don't know if we can compare them. But you know what? He will come in even when your personal space is like, that's okay, you just came into my, you just, hey, you're in my space. He has the right to be a close talker with you because he created you. Moms, he created you. He brought you fruitfulness in your lives. He's brought you to this very hour. You didn't create you. All those talents, gifts, and abilities, he determined them. You just discovered them. You just stumbled upon them one day. He has been sowing destiny in your life from the womb until today, so he has the right, as the master of our lives, to pursue us even more intimately and say, yeah, I know you don't want to talk about that, but we're going to talk about it. Yeah, I know you don't want to talk about that, but we're going to talk about that now. See, where people will back off if you vibe them enough, God will never back off. He is not intimidated by you or me. Mm-hmm. Creator of heaven and earth, you know. Do you know in the New Testament, remember Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee, and it says he gets out of a boat and a man with 6,000 devils runs at him. It's called a legion. A legion is 6,000. Now, I think one devil came up against me one time, but can you imagine 6,000 ultra-dimensional spiritual beings hooked onto this guy's life running at you screaming, and Jesus just stands there. See, he's not intimidated. He's not intimidated. And it says the guy ran all the way up at him. Now, I would have been gone at hello. I skipped the boat, and I would have been the first sinner to walk on the water without God's help. But the Son of God is so not intimidated by the powers of darkness that he just stood there, and 6,000 of these things run right at him, and then they fall right down at his feet. They come right to the gate, and they fall down, and they say, we know who you are. Jesus, the Holy One. You know, he's not intimidated by 6,000 devils. He can fight your attitude off, too. See, this Shunammite woman's just trying to be nice. She loves God. She builds the prophet a little chamber, and now the prophet's coming up and in the prophetic and getting uncomfortable and messing with her life and says, oh, by the way, I sense in you a vulnerability, and the vulnerability is you don't want to feel pain. You don't want your hopes dashed again. Well, guess what? This time, next year, you're going to have things different in your life. And she says, don't lie to me. You know, when you've gone without something for long enough, it creates a vulnerability in you of the fear of pain. You can't get your hopes up one more time because of the pain that may be produced if you do. And you know what? It's true. You cannot. The degree to which you can feel emotional pain is the degree to which you can feel joy. Did you know that? God, in difficulties in your life, there's a cistern being hewn down. And the degree to which you can hit a bottom is the degree to which you can hit a top. I'm not talking about some kind of a, you know, problem. I'm talking about a spiritual reality. If you want to go high in the kingdom, you go very low first. If you want to go extra high, you go extra low. You serve. Jesus said, the greatest in this room is the one who will serve the least in our midst, the most. See, the world won't give the media attention on CNN to somebody like Mother Teresa who's pulling kids out of the gutter in Calcutta. They'd get a little press report, but she was doing that 24/7. They just did a little sound, like, Mother Teresa, you know, that's it. Okay? She was not saving kids' lives one at a time because of her wonderful press cut. She's, you know, her press packet. You know, sorry, that wasn't a good profile. Could you smile again? She didn't have teeth. She was doing what she was doing because it was what she was called to do, and the world tended to observe occasionally and look in. But if you want to go high in the kingdom, you got to go real low. If you the degree to which you can feel pain, the Shunammite woman had wanted a baby all of her life, never had one, was too old, and her husband was definitely too old. And the prophet comes along and says, you know what, I want to bless you. You're going to have a baby this time next year. And she's fighting, I got a man that can't perform. I got an old guy, okay? God's going to have to circumvent that. Then, you know, there's the story of Abraham and Sarah must have rose up to say, well, that's possible. But then the vulnerability. This is where I think more than anything, she was vulnerable in this area. And because of her vulnerability, she was open to the experience of having her hopes dashed. And she said, not again. Well, let me tell you what happens in the story. Good news. God moved on daddy and something happened. We don't know what something. She's pregnant. She finds herself pregnant. No one can believe it. She has the child. She's excited. That long-forgotten hope is rekindled, and she fights through her disbelief, and she just winds up pregnant. And she has the little boy. Okay, now hold closely here, because I'm trying to put an awful lot in a short period of time. Listen now, you Shunammite women. Almost sounds like I'm reprimanding you, doesn't it? Why, you're nothing but a Shunammite. Shun just means she's from Shunam. That's all it means. And I think it's nice God didn't give us a lot of information, only what we need to know. She had lived a life reconciled to the loss. God approached her and dared to touch her vulnerability by saying, I'm going to make you hope again. You are going to hope. I'm going to make you hope until you cuss at me and say, you liar. Don't you lie to me. Nothing good's going to happen to me. Don't you lie to me. My situation is not going to turn around. Don't you lie to me. I've heard so many prophets. They've worn their hands on me and worn every hair off my head, and that's true in my instance. Don't you promise me. Don't you lie to me. You even start getting cynical about the prophetic and all of that, saying, I've been hurt 9 times out of 10. I am never going to stand up and be vulnerable to that. Good for you. God is not impressed. He will relentlessly pursue you and still stir up the embers. And say, remember that old dream you had? And then she just goes, no way. No way. Don't even go there. Don't even talk to me about it. That's right now in Jesus' name. What I just want to pray for just right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, for our congregation, those here and those listening to the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit of God, would you please fill the place in our hearts that have places that have gone to the highest heights of hope, the lowest depths of disappointment. Back up to the highest heights of hope, to the lowest depths of disappointment. Would you please melt, Lord, all of the dams holding all the water of all the sorrows, just the veneer of armor we've been able to put over our spirits to make us immune ever again from going high in our hopes and expectations. We pray that you heal that area in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. She has the baby. Go ahead and stay. She has the baby. And in the story, everything lives happily ever after, right? No. One day, her son is out in the field, and he dies. Sunstroke, we don't know what. This kid that was the blessing to the Shunammite woman dies. And she is stupefied. Have you ever just been stupefied? Wait a minute. God gave me that baby, and he's dead. You know what this woman did? It's so beautiful. Her husband says, what's going on out there? And she's got his body in her arms, and she says, it is well. And she's not going to tell daddy all about it. It is well. It's okay. What's going on? What's all that? It's okay. Because this woman is going to go one place. She's going to go to Elisha the prophet because she once said to him, don't you lie to me. Don't you get my hopes up. How dare you? Well, now the kid's dead. And she goes to the prophet. She don't want to talk to his servant. The prophet sends his servant forward. Yeah, does nothing. She says, I want to talk to you, Elisha. And it's talking to God. And she goes, I told you, don't you lie to me. I told you not to get my hopes up. I told you not to make me believe in something that would shatter again at the base of the mountains. And Elisha came running to mama's house. did you know? He got on his donkey and they go off to Shunem. And finally, in that little place where the boy was conceived, in that little place where the promise was first given, Elisha the prophet touches the child, lays upon the child, and the Bible says he sneezed 7 times and he got up and he was raised from the dead. Well, mama has been up and down and up and down and up. Look, I'm talking to some people, women, you've been up and down, up and down. This sounds like your story. I mean, life is just sort of under control, and then your hopes get stirred up, and you believe for something, and then your hopes are dashed to the ground. But I want you to see the Shunammite woman always went to God first. She told everybody else, it's okay, I'm going to God. As Marie always says, I've heard what the devil said, I've heard what you say, now I'm going to go to the prayer tower and hear what he says to me, the book of Habakkuk says. It's not over till he says it's over. And Elisha, by God's grace, raises the boy from the dead. Now, okay, so let's wrap this story up. God's stirring up old, forgotten dreams, hopes, visions. And yes, he's daring to even push through your vibe of don't stir me up, don't lie to me. Well, guess what? He is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that she should repent. Has he spoken, and shall he not do? Has he said, and shall he not make it good? He can be trusted. Well, listen to this. This is called wrapping it up. But you know, that's not the end of their story. She doesn't have a kid. God stirs her hopes up. She has the kid. The kid dies. The kid's raised from the dead. And let me say something to you, honey. Your story's not over either. Do you know what happens to this woman? This is worth the whole price of the ticket right here. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha loves this woman. And he says to her, he goes, you know, there's going to be a 7-year famine. Move. And I want you to move down over into the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Just rent a place. Because there's going to be a severe famine that hits the land. Did you know God lets his people know in advance what's going to happen? But because of her faithfulness, you know, kid long raised from the dead. We don't know if Papa's still alive. Seems like he may be gone now. But the prophet said, 7 years, there's going to be famine here. So go down and be a tenant. Go live somewhere else. So she does. For 7 years, a famine comes to the land. She is over with the Philistines. God will send you to some weird places when you're called to ministry. You'll wind up somewhere you never thought you'd be. That's nobody's business. They don't need to know your details. You just be where you're supposed to be. Well, when the famine's over, this woman comes back to Shunem, and guess what? Thieves had taken all over her property, her mansions, her 7 years of harvest. It had been stolen from her. That woman's up, down, up, down, up, down. You see what I mean? Remember the old story about the guy that gets thrown out of the... It said, you know, Bill fell out of a plane. They went, oh, no, but he had a parachute. Thank God. But there was no parachute in it. Oh, no, but he fell. Oh, no, but there was a bale of hay. Thank God. But there was a pitchfork in the hay. Oh, no. See, we're looking at your story, and it's like we want to wait to reserve judgment. It's a oh, no story. But wait, you know. So here she didn't have a baby, and God stirs her up to hope again. She has a baby. The baby dies. God raises the baby from the dead. She lives 7 years prosperously, but she comes back, and now all of her riches are gone. Daddy's dead. This is all she has to live on. Now listen, listen. You won't believe this. So she's looking at her mess, and she goes, all I can do is go to the king. 2 Kings chapter 8, 1 through 6. She comes back. She goes, look, I have served God all my life. It's up and down. Now I've got my baby, but I lost my fortune. And she goes to the king. That's what you used to do, to petition, to say, help, someone stole my property. And listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 8, 1 through 6 says, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was in with the king, telling the story of her boy being raised from the dead. He was telling spiritual stories to encourage the then king. And he goes, and then you'll never believe this Shunammite woman who never had a baby. We stirred her up and she had a baby and he died and Elisha raised the baby from the dead. And right then she walks in to the king's palace and Gehazi goes, and there she is now. Did you know that you have divine appointments just all around your life? And you are, God knows, right where you are right now, and you're going to like that woman. Can you imagine? She's what she thought going from her stolen properties to the White House, going, oh my God, I've got to get to the king. And if I, and she walks in the minute that her story is being told. Did you know your story is going to outlive you? Your legacy is going to outlive you. Your testimony is going to go over the wall to affect people's lives you don't even know about. If that boy had not been raised from the dead, there would be no story to tell this great king who in a moment restored all of her property to her. See, in a moment, God can move. In a moment. Not something that takes 10 years. In a moment. This time next year. The prophet once said, this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much food here. You won't believe. So I pray right now in Jesus' name for all those women under the sound of my voice, who whether it's barrenness or whether it's a longing for relationship or whether it's a long lost dream and hope, and it's in the vulnerability department of, I dare not go there because I'll fall to pieces. If I ever start crying, I'll never stop. Well, the Lord is going to address that very area, sweetheart. He's coming in close. But you can trust Him because He will never leave you or forsake you. He is not deceiving you. He is not a liar. Father, we pray in Jesus' name right now that You would melt our hearts again, in every area to be pliable to You, to be moist clay, to be available to be shaped by You. We bless again every mother under the sound of our voices and all of those mothers who are mothering in any capacity. Lord, I thank You that You liken Yourself unto a mother. In Isaiah, You said, Isaiah 42:14, You said, I have been silent a long time, but I will soon arise as a woman shrieking in travail. Lord, I thank You, You're going to speak some beautiful words over us as a woman in travail, not whispers, but shrieks and shouts of good promise, good hope. Expectations that will be realized from heaven. So we pray an inner healing over all of those, Lord, who have gone up and down and up and down and up and down like the Shunammite. Bring us up and keep us up. You're a God who can bring us up and keep us up. And thank You, whatever pain is represented under the sound of my voice, somebody is going to speak of that in the gates redemptively to kings. Somebody's going to tell your story and get a blessing out of it. Thank You, Jesus. Bless Your name, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed right now. I want you to know God loves you. He is so in love with you, He never takes His eyes off of you. And you can trust Him with your children. You can trust Him with your hopes. You can trust Jesus with your dreams. He'll never betray them. He'll never use you. He'll never merchandise you because He is in love with you. And I don't know what you've heard about Him, but He just loves you so much. All He asks, He says, is I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That's all. The preciousness you feel in your heart, that's the Holy Spirit touching you. And all you have to do in your own way is open the little door of your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive my sins. Make me Your child. It's that simple. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive my sins. Make me Your child. And you can begin today a relationship with God. And Lord, we trust You to bring up all the treasures of hope and expectation and all the dreams of the past. And we trust Your nail-scarred hands to steward them well and to not drop them. In Jesus' name. And someone said, amen.